Are you scared now?
Hi, I'm Jenny, and welcome to Writing Lessons From, where I break down a story I've consumed, usually a TV show or a film, because that's how I roll, and figure out what the writing lessons are that we can take from it to improve our own writing and storytelling craft. And this week, we're looking at Love, Death, and Robots. Bonjour, bonne nuit, mais oui, hello. Hello, welcome. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for putting up with that. Yes, today we are looking at Love, Death and Robots, which is a little bit different. Only a little bit. It's still a TV show, but it's a little bit different to the kind of things that we have been looking at previously on previous episodes. Before I get started, some admin-y news. This podcast has been weekly since it started. This is episode 16. This is the week 16. Except it's not because we missed a week, week 17. Anyway, it's been weekly thus far. And as of going forward, it is going to become fortnightly. I am one of those people who has all of these ideas and I want to do everything at once. And it's never really gone well. And all of that time, people have been telling me, focus down on one thing, focus, focus, focus. All the self-help books I read, all the business books I read, all the people I talk to, all my loved ones, Jen, shut up, focus on one thing. And what am I doing? I'm ignoring them. So I've got other projects that I really want to get started on working on. I've got loads of projects I want to get started working on, but there's a couple in particular I really want to, like, I've been in my head for a really long time and I just want to get on with it. So I'm trying to carve out some time to dedicate to those other projects. And some of that time is going to be carved out of Writing Lessons From. So it was always the plan that I would eventually go fortnightly with this blogcast. We're just kind of speeding that up a bit. So yeah, from now on, every other week rather than every week. That is all of the admin-y news. Bing, bing, bing. Let's get on with Love, Death and Robots. As a fan of long prose, the short story has always been something of an enigma to me. It needs a lot of the same ingredients that you'll find in a novel or a full-length film, but it is packed into a smaller container. There's less room for character development, background and laying down the plot, but these things are all vital for a good story. Everything must happen quickly, without the reader or audience realizing that it's happening quickly, sweeping them along until an ending that makes them stop, reeling from the punch delivered. At least that's how great shorts feel to me. When Love, Death and Robots appeared on Netflix in 2019, hardly anyone talked about it. I don't think we even discovered it until 2020. Trawling through the TV for obvious reasons, trying to avoid Tiger King and Squid Game, because they were all people could talk about. Love, Death and Robots is much more up my street. Each volume is a collection of short animated films, a volume being like a series, and each short animated film is adapted, written and made by different people. The stories vary, the themes vary, and the animation styles vary. 4 years later, at time of writing this, at time of recording, 5 years later, how has that happened? There are certain episodes that still stick in my head. And a story sticking in the head, you know, not for traumatic reasons, is a surefire sign of amazing writing. I couldn't write about Love, Death and Robots as a whole. Each story and episode is just too different. So I've decided to choose three, which turned into four to focus on. But choosing was incredibly hard because there are so many good ones, whether it's because they're entertaining, funny, clever, or they just suck you into their world. If you want another three recommendations on top of these four, then I recommend Three Robots, which is the very first episode of the whole thing, Volume 1, Episode 1, and Three Robots Exit Strategies, which is the first episode of Volume 3. Those are two fantastic short comedies that pack a punch. And I also recommend Fish Night, which is in Volume 1 for something a bit surreal. And my husband's favourite was Mason's Rats, which is in Volume 3. It's amazing, but I couldn't quite cope with it. They are all brilliantly written and well worth a watch. Right, here we go. From here on, there are spoilers. We are going to be looking at Sunny's Edge, Lucky 13, The Tall Grass, and Bad Travelling. So massive spoilers for those four episodes. Love, Death and Robots is available on Netflix, as I mentioned. And Sunny's Edge and Lucky 13 are both in volume one. The Tall Grass is in volume two and Bad Traveling is in volume three. I think it's probably the first time I've ever done a trigger warning thus far. If, like me, you avoid sexual violence in all its forms in your entertainment, then Good Hunting in volume one is beautifully done. It's a great story. Do not watch it. Sunny's Edge, which I'm going to be talking about, also contains suggestions of. Not as bad. They both contain suggestions of. Good Hunting has borderline depictions. Don't watch that one. That actually lives in my head rent-free, not for good reasons, but it is brilliantly done. Sunny's Edge, which I'm going to be talking about, is, I mean, it's one of my favourites. So, you know, I wish I hadn't watched Good Hunting. So glad I watched Sunny's Edge. And the sexual violence used in Sunny's Edge is used very well as a plot point, which is why I think it's included in the list that I'm going to be telling you about. You have been warned, if you're like me, you know, I'm spreading the word because there are some things that you just can't blot out of your head. And yeah, let's start with Sunny's Edge, which is in volume one and has the trigger warning / sexual violence disclaimer. Like I mentioned, I normally avoid or throw out any story that includes sexual violence. Most of the time, a story doesn't need it. Thanks to a show that rhymes with Fame of Bones, it has become something needlessly included in stories for its shock value and is probably playing a part in the rise of misogyny in the Western world. And I'm not going to talk about it any more than that, other than that if you include it in your story, really have a good think about why it's there. However, there can be a place for horrible, gruesome things in stories if it genuinely propels the story forward, which is why I say have a really good think about why that is in your story, if it is. That is how it is used in Sunny's Edge. We start in the rich world of monster fighting. Two creatures pitted against one another with humans acting as pilots, mentally connected to the monsters involved. Sunny is the pilot we're focusing on, the only female pilot in the fighting industry. She's undefeated. We learn Sunny's story immediately, because short stories have to act quickly, discovering that she was the victim of a violent gang rape. Piloting and fighting are her ways of building herself back up. She refuses the wealthy fight organizer's bribe to throw the fight and is then punished for winning by having her skull caved in as he asks her, "Are you scared now?" The problem is, that wasn't Sunny, and now she's angry. This is a wonderful story with themes around power, fear, and monsters. Monsters tore Sunny apart in the worst possible way, and she rebuilt herself. She took the fear they gave her and used it to create a stronger version of herself. She used what the monsters gave her and created herself a monster to endlessly protect herself, undefeated. This film was so beautifully, sharply written. Sunny's monster is the real deal, the surviving mind of the tormented, abused woman who will not let anyone take her power from her again. The writing lesson here is to keep your audience guessing. This short was so full of twists, it lulls you into thinking you're going down one path and then sharply swerves another way. There is a possibility of romance or salvation from the man's young lover, of one woman saving another. And then the twist as she tries to kill Sunny. And then the further twist, the ultimate reveal. Don't forget that punch right at the end. Sunny's Edge is a story of female empowerment against the patriarchy and those who would hurt us, cause us pain, and we will harness our fear, use that hate as fuel and come back as monsters that will haunt your dreams and take you apart piece by piece. Are you scared now? Right, let's look at Lucky 13, also in Volume 1, a very different story. I admit I am a little biased with this one. Inside my head lives a pilot named Crash, whose book I am in the process of editing. That's going to be out early next year, February, I think. Her main love is a ship called the Magpie. I'm going to shamelessly plug the series that Crash is in. It's called No Masters or Kings. The first book is called No Masters or Kings. You can find out all about Crash. I will put a link to the show notes. Go and grab it. It should be available everywhere. On a side note, bookshop.org UK aren't showing up my books, but bookshop.org US is, and I don't understand why. I've emailed them. I don't know. Anyway, Lucky 13. The protagonist of this short, Cutter, and her ship, Lucky 13, remind me so much of Crash and the Magpie. So yeah, this one caught my heart quite a bit. This short is a science fiction story about love between young pilot Cutter and her ship, Lucky 13, who has lost her crew twice and has an incredibly unlucky serial number. When going into battle, Lucky 13 is put at the front because it's the ship at the front that usually doesn't make it home. Cutter is undeterred by the superstition when she's given Lucky 13. She has faith. Ships have personalities, she tells us, as shown throughout the story in the bond between the pilot and the ship. They go into battle together over and over and always come home without a casualty. Cutter turns Lucky 13's fortune around and her name is no longer said with sarcasm. You want to come home? Then you get yourself in Lucky 13. Until, finally, Lucky 13 is shot down and crashes. Attacked on the ground, Cutter protects the crew as they run and she's forced to code in a protocol for Lucky 13 to explode. The timer counts down and the ship doesn't explode. Instead, the audience is given the wonderful suggestion that the ship waits until just the right moment where the enemy is sitting on her wings to blow and save her crew. A strange, defiant act of sacrifice. The writing lesson here in Lucky 13 is that with good character development, a love story doesn't have to be a romance between two people. And with clever writing, in this case, glimpses of the story from the ship's point of view, the mere hint of a suggestion can prove incredibly powerful. And 2025 note, I'm going to add there that characters don't have to be living beings. You know, a setting can be a character, a ship can be a character. There's a lot of character development to be found in inanimate objects and in the atmosphere and in a place. The third episode we're going to talk about is The Tall Grass, which is in volume 2. I love this one. I love all of them, but I love this one. This film has me written all over it. So of course it's included in this list. A steam train travels through a field of tall grass under a blanket of stars. When the train comes to a random unplanned stop, a man travelling on the train spots flashes of light in the grass. Curious, he gets off the train to find out what's going on and meets a man who works on the train. He's allowed to stay off the train for a smoke and is told that he will be called for when the train is leaving, but only twice. Then the train will leave, no matter what. You can probably guess what happens next. That isn't really the question this story asks. The important question here is, what are those lights? Of course our man wanders into the tall grass to find out what they are. This is a man who has never watched Jurassic Park 2, The Lost World. Hearing the cry of all aboard twice, the man becomes lost and disoriented, discovering the true terrifying nature of those lights in the tall grass. Zombies? Demons? You probably wouldn't want to stay still long enough to figure it out. You might think this story is predictable, but the writing lesson here is about tension, which can be built in such a simple way by using a primal fear as the story builds. Here, the tension comes from discovering what those lights are and whether the man will miss his train and be lost forever in that tall grass. Characters die all the time in speculative fiction. We can't really be sure if he's going to make it out alive. This story is such a simple but compelling one, with the full explanation giving at the end for a sense of closure. Perhaps my fascination with it was also somewhat helped along by the fact that when I first watched this, I had just listened to someone telling their real life experience of something similar on a paranormal podcast. Okay, the last episode we're going to talk about here, Bad Travelling, which is in volume 3. A science fiction story set on alien oceans, Bad Travelling harks back to the lore of 17th century hunting ships being attacked by sea monsters. It starts with action, which is always a great way to start your fantasy or sci-fi story, with the crew being attacked by a giant crab who hunkers down into the depths of the ship. The survivors draw straws to see who will go down to deal with the monster, and the man who is sent down takes advantage of the situation. The crab wants passage to an island full of people, and the crew must decide whether to risk those hundreds of lives. As the story develops, the crew is broken apart and killed off one by one, not knowing if they can trust the man who has put himself in charge. And we're right there with the crew. Can we trust this man? What does this crab really want? And the real question is, who is the hero of this story? Sometimes our hero doesn't have to be likable, and sometimes doing the right thing means doing lots of wrong things. This can be an excellent way of keeping your readers guessing right to the end and after the end as they make their way to bed, thinking about the actions of that one person. I really hope that just discussing those four episodes and very quickly going over the writing lessons, they were very brief writing lessons, might have tempted you to go and check out Love, Death and Robots if you haven't already. There's now a volume four. I didn't like it. So I'm not going to talk about that one. The writing lessons. Keep your audience guessing. Consider all the characters within your story, even the ones that aren't necessarily alive. Consider building in some tension somewhere. And your hero doesn't have to be likable. And doing the right thing often can mean doing some wrong things. Obviously, you don't need to put all of those writing lessons into one story, but I hope that somewhere along the line that might have sparked a little bit of inspiration. So there you go. I mean, if nothing else, four things to go and watch. The Love, Death and Robots stories tend to be very short. Some of them are like 20 minutes long. Most of them like 10, 15 minutes. It's a little bit like this podcast. Just a little short break, a little burst of storytelling. Actually, if you're feeling a bit stuck or something, it'd be really, really good just to go and stick on an episode of Love, Death and Robots just to get a little bit of the creative juices flowing. Don't like the word juices. Sorry about that. I do apologize. Refill your creative cup. Oh, it's all related to the juice. I'm going to go. I'm going to go. Have a lovely week, storytellers. Bye.